With me now is Stuart Madnick, professor of information technology at MIT and the founding director of cybersecurity at the MIT Sloan School of Management. Professor Madnick, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be with you and your audience.
So we are in a time where, stating the obvious, so much of our activity is online. During the course of the pandemic, more people are shopping online, more people are working from home online and getting things delivered. And at the same time, you know, our personal information is out there to a greater extent than ever, between hospitals, you know, testing, unemployment checks, all of these things that we are still doing remotely. Would you say during this period, have hackers taken advantage of the pandemic overall to be more active?
Oh, definitely. In fact, let me step back away. One of the things we often say in the work we've been doing regarding cybersecurity is whenever there is a disruption, a change in the status quo, that creates great opportunities for hackers, because basically all of us are a bit off guard and they take advantage of that. And of course, this whole COVID situation, the vaccines, all of that, and working at home has all created all kinds of opportunities. For example, often, not all of you, but maybe some of your listeners may have getting an email that may be asking you, you know, information like vaccines are now becoming available in your location. Please sign up below and provide us the following information, asking for your name, rank, and serial number. If they're daring enough, they may ask you to make some payments for that. Furthermore, there may be, I was told there's hundreds of new websites being created with words like COVID or vaccine in it. And you may do some Google searching around and say, well, you know, where can I get vaccines? And you come across a website that sure looks legitimate, but it turns out it was created by hackers yesterday. And when you go to that website, it'll either ask you information, ask you for payments, or ask you to download some software or a map. And when you download that software and map, you're also downloading some malware on your computer. And these have all happened.
Now, we'll talk about all this in more detail, but people are going to want to know right away, you know, smart practices. I use a password manager. I also, but this is because I'm a journalist and there are people who would like to look up and come after journalists now. But I have another service that monitors, say, identity theft, people that are doing searches, things like that. Would you recommend that for everyone, or what would you recommend we do as just sort of best smart practices?
Well, there's a saying that one of my colleagues called to my attention in a report. I don't know whether any of your listeners are science fiction fans, but you know,
probably a lot if they're like me. But
yeah, there was a series of Star Trek, and there are these this race called the Borg, who always start off by saying,
"Resistance is futile."
And there was an article that came out that said prevention is futile. So the issue is, if someone really is serious at getting to you, they will succeed. The real goal of you have is to raise the barrier enough so they go next door to your neighbor instead. And all the things you described are all the ways you can basically better protect yourself. Just realizing it is a difficult process.
And remember that Starfleet did defeat the Borg in the end.
let's hope we'll succeed at some point also.
Now, in terms of going from individuals to institutions, and obviously hospital systems, unemployment systems, government systems are a serious concern, have we been seeing more successful attacks, hacks of those kinds of systems since the pandemic began?
Yes, in this case, it's a little different. The ones I was describing before were examples of attacks that may attack you directly to steal your bank account numbers and so on. But we're also seeing attacks being made, in some sense, to the government. So, for example, you know, digging up all kinds of Social Security numbers and filing for any of the various stimulus payments and such. In fact, one of the things I often remind people of who aren't familiar with it, there is this notion called the dark web, which is the same as the internet, but it's a kind of a part of the internet that you have to have special permissions to get into. But that's where all kinds of things are traded there. In one of our recent work, we discovered there's over 2 billion passwords and email addresses and so on that are available for sale on the dark web for $15.
Wow.
So given that information, of course, I can generate all kinds of phony claims for unemployment insurance or claims for stimulus payments.
You recently wrote about the side door hack and the pandemic creating a space for this. Could you explain all of that?
Well, first thing, let me explain a little bit what I mean by the side door hack. We often think about what I call attacks on the front door, someone trying to break into your account, if you will. If you think about a business, what you often have is the front door where the receptionists or security guards, you know, screen people arriving. But often there'll be a sign that says, vendors, please go to the side door. This is like your air conditioning repair people or your pest control people, you know, all the various regular maintenance people who have to come to your business. And there's a side door, and you're given a special pass or code that allows you to get in, do your business, and leave. So the side door hack, instead of someone coming in through your front door, comes in through your side door. And how do they do that? Well, they find a way to get the credentials of one of these vendors, if you will, and they just slide right on in, kind of unnoticed. The one you're referring to most recently, often referred to as the SolarWinds hack. SolarWinds is a piece of software that was used on tens of thousands, particularly large companies and government agencies. And like much of the software we have, there are periodic updates that are automatically sent to our computer. In this case, the hackers got into the SolarWinds system, and when the updates were sent to all of its customers, along with the update came the malware that got onto those companies' computers. Once again, coming in through the back door or the side door in this case.
And going back to your analogy of the Borg, and sorry, because I will geek out on this, but the, you know, the Borg adapt all the time. And what you write about, with it seems it's sort of like, you know, a never-ending arms race. Is this a perpetual thing, Professor Madnick? Is there always going to be this back and forth, and you know, just the defenses get better and then the attacks get better? We'll never get out of this.
Well, I'm glad you used that phrase. I often refer to this as an arms race. And also the other thing you point out is very important. These hackers are amazingly resilient and adaptable. Ironically, usually much more resilient and much more adaptable than we are. I'm not quite sure why. One person described it as the asymmetry. That is, if you, let's say, had a building with 50 doors to it, you have to worry about keeping all 50 doors locked. All the hacker has to do is find one door. So in some sense, they're able to adapt or able to be much more flexible than we are. And I referred earlier to the dark web. And that's an important concept, not just because of how it operates, but what it says about the culture. One of the things I often say about us, the good guys, if you suffered a cyber attack, if GBH suffered a cyber attack, unless actual private information is revealed, and there are certain laws about that, but if, let's say the programs for the next 2 weeks were stolen, I don't believe there is any law requiring you to tell anybody that you had been hacked. And in fact, companies go out of their way to try to disclose or not disclose the fact they've been attacked for lots of reasons. You know, it can be bad for your reputation. It can encourage copycats. It may expose you to legal problems of not doing, protecting yourself well enough. So the good guys tend to try to keep things as quiet as possible. On the dark web, you shout as loud as you can. I found a great new way to get into GBH. Hey, you guys may want to try it too. And so the bad guys are much better at communicating, sharing, and really kind of ganging up on us.
Are there, you know, we talked earlier about things you can do in terms of like programs, you know, software that you could use to protect yourself as you're going online. Are there places that or practices that one should just avoid? I mean, should we be using Instacart over going to the grocery store, or vice versa? You know, are there practices out there that we just want to stay away from?
Well, I often say, as far as I know, the caveman never had any cyber attacks. But I'm not quite sure we're ready to go back to that. So I often say life is a matter of risk. The minute you get out of bed in the morning, I have a relative who actually slipped in the shower. So the minute you got out of bed in the morning, you're putting yourself at risk. The trick is how to minimize your risk as low as possible and make sure that the risks are commensurate with the benefits you gain by being out and about in the world. So I think that's the thing, is you want to make sure you're using as best practice as you can. The obvious thing, if you will, is a healthy sense of skepticism. So when you get an email, as I did, just having a legitimate one, But you know that a certain hospital was now opening up for vaccines, but you had to go and authenticate yourself and so on. As it turned out, it was legitimate, but that same email could just as well have been phony. So you have to make sure you scrutinize it. You may even want to call the hospital to verify it's actually the case. So just a certain amount of healthy skepticism will save you an awful lot of harm.
Professor Madnick, this is endlessly fascinating, I guess, because they're so good at adapting in all these ways. It's good to speak with you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And one thing I want to stress, because it's important to realize, it's a blurry world out there because we talk about cyber criminals, but nation states are also cyber criminals. North Korea is always hungry to get U.S. dollars. So a lot of times you're not just dealing against some teenager located in the basement of his mother's house. You may be dealing with a whole government out to get money, including from you. So it is a scary but interesting life out there.
So be sensible and careful out there.
Exactly.
That's Stuart Madnick, professor of information technology at MIT and the founding director of cybersecurity at the MIT Sloan School of Management.